course.
I'll make the same disclaimer this week that I did last week. I have a little bit of laryngitis today, but don't worry that the preacher sounds a little subdued, because I don't feel tired at all. I feel no ways tired. Just bear with my voice, if you could, please. I want to talk to you this morning about the fire next time. There's an old spiritual, a line from an old spiritual, that says, God gave Noah the rainbow sign. No more water, but the fire next time. Another old spiritual says, God's going to set this world on fire one of these days. Hallelujah. Going to set this world on fire one of these days. The second reading today from the second letter of Peter is really at the root of those spirituals. The idea that one day God will come and judge the world by fire. He'll set this world on fire, and we need to look at that fire and begin to get our minds around this concept of the great fiery day of judgment, and not be afraid of it, but hasten to it with joy, having been set on fire by God already. So I want you to first of all notice in this reading today, the second reading from the second letter of Peter, here we are in the third chapter of that letter, and I want you to notice first of all the patience that is purposeful. It says here, do not ignore this fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord does not delay His promise, as some consider it delay, but rather, He is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, lurking in the background is this potential objection. Lord, You said You were coming soon. Well, it's been about 2,000 years now. And Lord, I'm not sure that I understand what You meant when You said You were coming soon. But brothers and sisters, remember that with God, 1,000 years are like a watch in the night. God reveals to Peter and Peter to us that these 1,000 years, two periods of 1,000 years that we've already been through, it's just 8 hours to God. The Lord says, what do you mean I'm delaying My coming? What do you mean I'm slow in coming? I just got back up here. You see, a watch in the night was a period of about 4 hours. They had different shifts in the Roman guard. The first shift from 6 to close to 10 or 11 at night, and from 11 to 3 or 4 in the morning, and from 4 o'clock till dawn. And so it is that for the Lord, these 1,000 years, oh, I tell you, church, nations have risen and fallen. Civilizations have come and gone. Great ideas and epochs have come and they've gone. But for God, it is just a period of a watch in the night. So, the Lord is not delaying. That's the first teaching. Amen? We live in this long extended period of time, but for God, a twinkle of an eye. Just a brief time. Now, notice again, though, Peter shifts the question. He says, look, he says, it isn't just that God is, in some sense, delaying. It's not delay, but it's patience. The Lord is being very patient. Someone say, praise the Lord. The Lord is patient. It says here that His patience has a purpose. The Lord is patient with you, not wishing that any one of us should perish, but that all of us should have time to come to repentance, to time to get our act together. Amen. So you see, the Lord has a love for us, a patience, a waiting. He knows that our growth in holiness is slow and difficult to come by. I've been serious about my spiritual life for 25 years now. And I've experienced amazing progress. But brothers and sisters, I know I have a ways to go. I'm not just ready to walk into God's presence and say, well, here I am, all finished and perfect. God still has a lot of work to do for me. And so it is that the Lord patiently works with me. I'm a difficult case. Apparently difficult enough that, and I say myself, but come on, brothers and sisters. All of us, to some extent, are a hard case for God. For most of us, He needs to take 80-some years to get us ready. And if we die early, I suspect some time in purgatory will be necessary for all of us. But in the end, the Lord patiently, persistently works to get us ready. And so it is that the Lord's, quote, delay is not really delay. It is not delay, no. But it is patience. And God is working His purposes out. It remains for you and me to have a proper understanding of that patience, though. It doesn't just mean that we should go on as we always are, but that we should seriously commit ourselves to the Lord and allow Him to make progress in our life. We're not just standing around waiting for a bus. We're actively waiting, working with the Lord to get ready for when He'll call us. Now, I want you to notice the patience that is purposeful, but I want you next to notice the passage that is perilous, or the passing that is perilous. And here's where we go back to the theme of fire. It says here, but be careful, because the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be found out. Nothing will remain hidden. I'm mindful of another old spiritual. There's no hiding place down there. That down there means the judgment day. Oh, the rock cried, I'm burning too. The rock cried, I'm burning too. Because there's no hiding place down there. Everything and everyone will be found out, and some before God. Now, brothers and sisters, let's work with this image of fire for a minute. It's a beautiful image. It's not an easy image. See, some of us like these nice, cozy images of God. This is a more difficult image. But I want you to know that one of the most consistent themes of how God is described in the Bible is fire. Fire. And so it is that I want to suggest to you that this fire that is mentioned on the day of judgment is a fire that is in fact God Himself. Now listen, in the Bible, go back to Genesis and ponder with me as Moses encounters God. Actually, the book of Exodus. And he's there on the mountain, and suddenly a burning bush and the voice of God, Moses. And then again, as God led the people out of Israel, out of Egypt and out of slavery toward Israel, God appeared during the day like a pillar of cloud, and at night as a pillar of fire. It is said that the pillar of fire entered the water and they parted. It is said that the pillar of fire, God, cast a glance on the Egyptian army and they fell back in confusion. God just cast a glance from the pillar of fire as He led them forth in the desert. Psalm 97 says that Fire surrounds our God and consumes his foes round about. The book of Isaiah, God says that he will sit and purify the sons of Levi with fire, like a refining fire. The book of Hebrews says our God is a consuming fire. God is fire. And brothers and sisters, the first thing that should come to our mind is, if God is this holy fire, how are we going to get ready to see him? Well, that leads us to the next section of this passage. Not only is there a patience that's purposeful and a passing that is perilous, but there is a prescription that is proclaimed. Since everything is to be dissolved by fire in this way, what sort of people should you not be? Conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for, even hastening the day of the Lord God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved with flames and the elements melted by fire. In other words, church, let me just summarize. Because we're told to live in holiness and conducting ourselves with reverence. But brothers and sisters, here's the bottom line. If you want to survive on that day, when the Lord shall come like fire, guess what? The only way you're going to make it is to already be on fire yourself. Are you praying with me? You got to let the Lord set you on fire. The Lord wants to turn us into a burning furnace of love and charity. The Lord wants to bring us up to the temperature of glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm mindful of how when the Lord began this process for the church in the book of Acts, God said, it is time to get my people ready to see me. And so what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit like tongues of fire. And those tongues came to rest on each of them and ignited a fire deep within their heart. Brothers and sisters, today's gospel, John the Baptist said, I come to baptize you with water. But there is one coming after me. And in Mark's version, it adds this. There is one coming after me who is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, church, God wants to set us on fire. Because on the day when God comes as fire, the only thing that we'll really be able to rejoice that day is fire itself. All wickedness will be burnt away. Another image, let's try to capture this image of fire. And I think most of us are a little bit standoffish when we think about fire. Of course, fire is a dangerous thing. But brothers and sisters, let's try to examine some more positive dimensions of fire as well. Think about it. Right now, it's pretty frigid outside. It was snowing last night. Cold this morning. Not just cold, but windy. But church, I got good news for you. We have a fire burning in the basement of this church. It's called the boiler, but it's a fire, amen? And it takes the cold winter air and warms it up so that we feel at peace and comfort. You see, fire gives us warmth. Not only that, now some of you are good cooks. I am not. I would burn the salad if you asked me to cook. Oh, you don't cook salad? Oh, I'm sorry. All right. But a good cook can take fire and take the toughest piece of meat and make it edible. A good cook can take flour, water, sugar, and whatever other ingredients, mix it together, Now, you wouldn't want to eat that raw dough, no indeed. But they subject it to the fire, and it becomes tasty indeed. You see what fire can do? God is a fire like this for us. I don't know how familiar you are with the refining process. I'm not that familiar, but I know a few things about it from my studies. You see, when you go to get gold out of the earth, it is very seldom pure gold. It's usually mixed in with iron ore, mixed in with other granite or other minerals less desirable. So what do? To purify that gold and separate out the undesirable things, you take that rock and you melt it with fire. And then the different metals have different weights and they separate out, kind of like oil and vinegar do. And you skim off the undesirable things and you're left with pure gold. You see what fire can do? It can give us warmth. It can make our food tasty. It can purify and perfect. And so it is that God, when He comes again in all His glory, like fire, the only way we're going to make it is to already be set on fire. Amen, church? You've got to be brought up to the temperature of glory. And you'll say on that day, if you're already on fire, you'll say the weather's just fine. The temperature is just perfect. Because you see, you've been set on fire by God, purified, made holy, brought up to the temperature of glory, able to endure the presence of God. This is what the Lord wants to do for us. To refine us, to purify us, to give us warmth, to give us an experience of holiness so that we'll be able to endure the day of His coming. And the final thing I want you to notice today in this reading is not just the patience that is purposeful, the passing that is perilous, the prescription that is proclaimed, but finally, the perfection that is promised. Because, brothers and sisters, this fire of God comes not to destroy, but to perfect. Listen to what it says. Thinking of that fiery day when all the heavens shall melt away and but we, according to His promise, await a new heaven and a new earth wherein the righteousness of God will dwell. Oh, hallelujah, church. God's going to set this world on fire one of these days. Now think of the slaves, or those who were called slaves, who sang that old spiritual. They had no place at the master's table. But one day, when the Lord would come and set the world on fire, listen to one of the verses of that old spiritual. God's going to set this world on fire one of these days. Hallelujah. And I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. Because God is going to set this world on fire. A new heaven, a new earth, where there is justice, where there is mercy, where there is truth, where there is goodness, where there is holiness, where all unrighteousness is gone, where all sadness is gone. Oh, the first reading today said, every valley shall be filled in. All the valleys of our sorrow, the valleys of our despair will be filled in. Every mountain will be made low. The mountains of our pride, the mountains of our arrogance will be made low. The rugged land shall be made plain. Oh, the ruggedness of our sin, it will all be made a plain. The rough country, a broad valley. And then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all peoples will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God's going to set this world on fire. He's going to come and take our sin, take our sorrow, take our arrogance, and melt them away. Purify this world. Take away all sin and all sorrow. The wicked shall be no more. The holy shall remain, and there shall be no sorrow, no more sighing, no more dying, no more moaning and no more groaning, for the old order has passed away. And the one who sits on the throne will say to us, see, I make all things new. Oh, church, the fire next time. One of these days, hallelujah, God's going to set this world on fire. Jesus said toward the end of his public ministry, he said, I have come to cast a fire on this earth. Oh, how I wish the blaze were already ignited. So it is, he sent his Holy Spirit upon us as tongues of fire. Let the Lord bring you up to the temperature of glory. Let him set you on fire. Let him purify you. Let him purify me. Let him get us ready. Because he will come, church. He will come. And where shall I be when the last trumpet sounds? Where shall I be when it sounds so loud? When it sounds so loud as to wake up the dead, where shall I be on that day? So it is. The fire next time. I'm mindful of a gospel song from some years ago, speaking of the Lord's great entrance in glory. The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud with thunders of praise, and sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting. And we shall behold him then face to face. The angels shall shout, shall sound the shout of his coming. The sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and all those who remain shall be changed in one moment. And we shall behold him then, face to face. Yes, we shall behold him, our Savior and Lord. One of these days, church, God is going to set this world on fire. And we, if we are purified by that fire, will see him face to face. Amen.